The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Homemaker Chic Podcast. We are glad you're here for season 8. This is the podcast where Angela Reed and I are rescuing the art of homemaking from the daily grind. If you are a modern day homemaker in any capacity, we are your people.
Yes.
Because we are not wearing denim jumpers. We are not those homeschool moms. We are wearing red lipstick, and we are trying to keep it classy, keep it beautiful, keep it exciting, keep it fresh in our homes.
We're trying. Every day. We're just here with you. And if you're wondering how we define a homemaker, scroll back a few seasons, because I think you'll be surprised.
Yes.
We're all homemakers.
We have listeners from all over the world, from, you know, retired women who are currently living alone in an apartment. We have young moms who are just starting off with their first baby or two. We have even younger than that, like young girls who are, you know, just kind of starting to get their feet underneath them, deciding what it is that they want to do. We've got all manner.
Husbands, widowers.
We got
it all.
Yes.
Yep.
A large range of, quote, homemakers meet here every Monday and Thursday for an hour to just hash out thoughts, hash out ideas, feelings about life in the home. Here we are.
Life
in the home has actually become a very, very significant thing for a lot of people over these last 18 months since we started Homemaker Chic. Providential timing, I would say.
Amazing. I was just talking about that with someone this morning, about just the timing of the show, that it was just incredible that all of a sudden, literally everyone was a homemaker for a period there. Just like, oh, what is this thing we call being at home?
Yeah.
Or managing our home, or taking care of our home, or enjoying our home. Not always trying to get away from it. Now we're stuck here. So I guess we better
make it good. We keep saying to ourselves, what else can we do to make this like the most enjoyable place that it can be, because at this point we're just not going anywhere.
It's just right.
It's just too much.
I think a lot of people. Yeah. I don't really see that going away anytime soon.
Yeah.
From remodeling to interior design to cooking, everyone's just like in.
Yeah. In. I guess we'll just stay here. No just one yells so at bad. Us when we're here. Exactly. So we're making beautiful beds, we're baking things, we're gardening, we're schooling our children. We're doing a lot of things, not the least of which is enjoying good wine. Do you appreciate that segue?
I do.
Okay.
I do appreciate that segue.
Thank you. I did that
very
just
much.
For you. So we're going to cue the wine music. We're getting right to the point today. So this is the part of the podcast where we encourage you to pour a glass with us. We drink Dry Farm Wines. You can visit them at dryfarmwines.com/homemakerchic. The reason that we drink these wines is because they're clean, they're beautiful, they're sourced from all different kinds of small boutique wineries from all around the world. Dry Farm Wines tests them for purity, only natural yeasts, no added sugars, no preservatives, no dyes, no garbage. So we stock our wine cabinets to keep it chic, keep it healthy, keep it beautiful at dryfarmwines.com/homemakerchic. What are you sipping today, Miss Angela?
Shay, we had this over the weekend. This is it's called Chinon. Chinon. C-H-I-N-O-N. I cannot spell out loud. It is like, I can look at letters and not say them. It's awful. This is a 2018 Cabernet Franc. Yes, we killed it. Over the weekend. So this is a red wine from the Chinon Valley or Chinon region in France. This one has 12% alcohol. And just in doing a little reading about the Cab Franc. So the other day we talked about your Merlot mm-hmm. Bordeaux, which was, I believe, a Merlot and a Cabernet Sauvignon blend, correct? Mm-hmm. So the Cab Franc grape is really exceptionally hardy. And it's got a thin skin. And when it ends up in its fabulous vino form, it goes very good with, heavy foods like cheesy, like a big heavy, like a casserole, cassoulet, or a heavy food like lasagna. Really heavy meat dishes. Again, like pork belly, beef stews and roasts, lots of flavor, garlic, rosemary. And even it can go well for our vegetarian listeners or for that night that you just want to eat some lighter vegetarian fare. It goes really good with that as well.
I was thinking things like basil homemade and Brussels mac and sprouts. Cheese.
Yeah, that's your heavy cheese dish right there. Ooh, yeah.
I'm hungry.
So it's got like a very, the Cab Franc is like known for having like a very earthiness, herb-like taste. So that's why it complements those kind of dishes. And I would recommend this one. I actually really, really enjoyed it. And I think 2018 is a little older than you usually get with dry farm. So I was intrigued by that as well.
What region is it from?
Chinon.
Chinon.
C-H-I-N-O-N.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm. I have not had this bottle.
It's got the nice drip coming down.
It must have been good.
You haven't had this one?
I haven't had this one.
Oh. This is by Sylvain and Nicolas. Sylvain and Nicolas.
Okay.
Those are the vignerons. So.
Mm-hmm. I love when they post the vignerons' name.
So do I.
You know what I did over the weekend? I reorganized all of my dining room. Again, Stu wouldn't take me antiquing. Hello. So I had to just play with what I had. Okay. And so I reorganized this built-in that I have in my dining room. And part of that reorganization involved clearing off the middle shelf from what was there, which was a hodgepodge of beautiful things. And instead, I just made it a wine glass shelf. So it's all my wine glasses, all my flutes, all my little goblets and things, all in this perfect organized line on a shelf. And it looks really beautiful. So like if you come in, I have my little dry farm. I have my reds in a corner with the cork and the wine glasses. And then I actually moved up a little beverage fridge that I'd been using as a cheese cave down in my root cellar. I brought that up into the dining room, snuck it into a little corner and put all my white wine in there.
How did you sneak that? I want to see a picture of that.
Yeah, it worked great. So I have a big blue kind of china cabinet. You know, with the chicken wire on it?
Yes.
Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Uh-huh. I think so.
So I just scooted it like closer to the doorway that goes up into the living room about 8 inches, which was enough to create a pocket in the corner. It's a dark corner. No one sees it. So it's perfect.
Okay.
Put my beverage refrigerator there. So now I don't have to go down to the cold room.
Yeah.
To get the wine or the champagne, I can just have it chilled right there by the dining room table.
How many bottles does it hold? That sounds great.
I don't know. I chilled because I also put my our beer in it so that when guests are over, it's like, here's the beer fridge, you know, or here's the sparkling water fridge. So I probably put about 8 bottles of white wine in there. And then as we take them out, I'll just put some more in, you know, kind of a thing. But it's... Yeah, feeling pretty swanky. Sometimes I'm always amazed at what you
can
do.
Some of us had a wine fridge and now they don't.
Sorry. Mine's not pretty if it makes you feel any better. Yours was way prettier, even though it's dead now.
Mine was cool. Now it just smells like skunk.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's really sad. That sounds really lovely. We didn't even give the website. dryfarmwines.com
/homemakerchic. I gave
it
twice. Yeah, I did. Okay. It's fine. All right. Okay. Here we are. Here we are. What I was going to say is it's always amazing sometimes when you can't just go out and get more. It's amazing mm-hmm. how you can kind of recreate things with what you have around you. We call mm-hmm. it robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Oh, yeah. I'll strip a room down. I'll just make a room look like some war aftermath. And then the room next door is just wanky. Yeah. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
People on social media, they're like, at one point they were like, we never see your living room anymore. Like, that's because during COVID, I just stripped it. And I brought everything to every other room in the house to make it look good.
Mm-hmm. I did a gallery wall in my dining room. Ugh. So I was like art from like my walls in my office now are bare because I have had these things in here that I've been wanting to build a gallery wall out of. But yesterday I was just like, I'll take mm-hmm. some of this and take some of this and take some of this. And now the rest of the house looks naked.
Oh, super cool. I want to see that because mm-hmm. That's my next interior design class for the Old World Design Society. Next Monday, I think, is gallery wall.
Yeah.
So I want to see yours. Yeah.
Tell you what, I am so hot for gallery walls. I'm hot for things having textures and layers, like the minimalist, super clean. It just does not do it for me. I don't get the vapors from it. It looks nice. I get that. It looks nice, but it doesn't give me the vapors.
Yeah. There is this line, though, like we talked the other day about storing junk under our beds and dust bunnies and shoes under the bed. Like, you got to have your bleep in order, your shiz in order. Like, I think I always say I'm no minimalist. So it's very important that you're not an unorganized hot mess at the same time, too. Like, or else people don't feel welcomed and comforted in your house. I think they start to feel a little like claustrophobic. Like
yeah.
The walls are closing in on them.
Yeah.
But yes, all the prints, all the art.
Well, it's
all the things on the wall. Please.
It's funny you mentioned that because I did this gallery wall and it's like floor to ceiling. I mean, it's like the whole thing, but then I have a built-in cabinet right next to it. And then it felt too cluttered because that was kind of a gallery wall in and of itself. And so that's when I stripped it all back and just put the clean lined up wine glasses on the shelf to sort of counter
what
sort of you create with a gallery wall. Anyway, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. Very fun.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
So what's the subject?
The subject du jour.
Ready?
I can't think of that without thinking about Dumb and Dumber when he's like, what's the soup du jour? And she's like, it's the soup of the day. He's like, that sounds good. I'll have that.
We quote a lot of Dumb and Dumber in this house. A lot. But we're big movie quoters. That
mm-hmm. Here we go.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
There's a chance. I feel like Dumb and Dumber, like I'm stuck in that scene where he's trying to read the word the every time I try to teach a child to read something. Like the. I'm not making fun of my children, by the way. It's just teaching people to read is like the hardest part. Which, hey, we're talking about homeschooling today.
And what's really exciting, because sometimes we feel like we do like to talk about homeschool. Shay and I are both homeschoolers, but we know not everybody is, and it's a small, like, subculture. However, I just read that said subculture has doubled in the last 12 months. So we went from about 2.5 million to 5 million strong and counting nationwide. Welcome to the club.
And even if you're not a homeschooler, we are going to be just talking about homes with children who have to have school. And so we're going to be talking about other stuff.
At this point, you know a homeschooler. So
yeah. And just how we set up routine, how we kind of manage the day, blah, blah, blah. Structure the week.
Did you hear me? I said chances is you know a homeschooler. You should be one too.
We real smart. Oh boy. We real smart.
Oh my goodness.
We have this running joke in it sounds like we're making fun of our kids. We're not. But we do like to laugh, okay?
Yeah.
A lot of times our kids will do something just weird or silly, or they'll wear something that's just completely out in left field. And we always like little joke, we'll whisper in their ear, hide your homeschool. Hide your homeschool.
Hide your homeschool. That is fabulous.
Yep.
That's great.
Very funny. Or your homeschool showing.
Your homeschool showing.
You know what? A lot of people's complaint about homeschool kids is like they're, quote, weird. That used to be the stereotype of homeschool kids. And I remember asking my mom one time, like, what do you mean weird? Because she was a dental hygienist for a very long time. So these homeschool kids would come in. She's like, they're kind of weird. I'm like, why? And she's like, well, because they'd like look you in the eye and shake your hand and make conversation with you. Like they weren't afraid of having adult conversation, right? They'd ask questions back. And of course, I'm painting in broad strokes here. Obviously, this is not true of every homeschool family. But I was like, you know what? If that is what is weird, I'll take it. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. When I first started homeschooling, I had a family member like, are you sure you want to do that? Mm-hmm. They're kind of weird. You know, like, I don't want them to be like the odd man out, the oddball. I don't want them to not fit in society. I'm like, why don't you show me some stellar examples coming out of, you know, like, where am I going to go wrong here?
Who is the odd man out in high school?
That's what I mean. It's like, nobody's just like in high school, just crushing it and awesome and has their life figured out. They're still a child. So I can do this. They'll be okay. They're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And then she had her own children and she's like, oh, I'm homeschooling. I'm like, we're not putting them out there.
Yeah, no, I get why people make lots of different decisions. I don't want y'all to think we're coming down super hard. I think, you know, especially when you get into like special ed situations, there are serious needs that children have to have met.
Yeah, I can tease all I want. I don't think homeschooling is for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. I talked to someone recently about like farming and being a homesteader. I said, wait, like you need to know, I don't feel dogmatic about this. This isn't the way I think like the world should run. This is my choice. I don't even expect my kids to carry on in this fashion.
Yeah.
This is just what I'm doing. If they choose to, they can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, unfortunately, we don't like nuance because it's not something that you can slap into a meme and really punch your view forward. But education of children is a nuanced topic. It's complicated. It's not simple. It's not straightforward. And I think about it actually like, we probably shouldn't go there, but I think about it like disciplining children. Okay. I that's not also something that I think you can draw hard lines on. Cause I think there is a lot of nuance between what's appropriate, what's inappropriate, what might be appropriate for one child, would be completely inappropriate for another child. Mm-hmm. And I think the same could be said of education in a lot of ways. That umbrella being said, just so you guys know where we're coming from on this, Angela and I are both Christians. And that worldview that we hold of secular education versus Christian education, it obviously plays a huge role into what we do and what we teach in our homes and why we want to be the ones to teach our children certain things, why we may be opt out of teaching them other things. And this isn't to make them sheltered in any kind of a way. It's to keep them broad, to give them the worldview that we believe to be true, which is what every parent does.
Yes. it's not that you don't. Okay. It's not that you just look at people like maybe Shay or I that are maybe drawing a hard line in the sand based on what we believe and you don't or someone else doesn't.
Yeah.
Everyone does.
Yeah. R.C. Sproul calls that the myth of neutrality. Like, I'm so neutral that anything, I'm open to anything. It's like, that is a worldview, though. So, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But I want you guys to know, like, this is kind of how we shape a big part of why we've chosen to homeschool our children. Mm-hmm. I went to public school. Angela went to public, private, and was homeschooled. So we have a variety of backgrounds that we're coming from in choosing to do something like this. I think people, bless them, they have had a hell of an 18 months. And now you have these parents who weren't in this camp, who didn't want to be in this camp, who have any kind of religious or moral or ethical objection whatsoever to their child being in public school.
Right.
They're now having to face a very difficult decision. And I truly, from the bottom of my heart, feel and am praying for parents who have found themselves in this position. Mm-hmm. Homeschooling's hard when you choose it.
Yeah.
When you feel forced or strong-arm into choosing it as your best mm-hmm. option.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow.
Yeah. That's tough.
Drinking from a fire hose. Wow. Right. But here we are, regardless of why we're here. We're here. We're homeschooling. And at least in our home, we've got 2 weeks left till we start. I am not one of these starting in August two nonsense weeks. Families. I cannot okay. do that.
Yeah. When are you starting?
The Tuesday, the first Tuesday of September, which is
the 7th?
Yes, the 7th.
The 7th.
Yep.
We're either going to start the 7th or I'm assuming we're going to start the 13th. We usually okay. start the very beginning of the teens.
Okay.
That will accommodate my work schedule a little bit easier. The bigger kids are going to go ahead and get started.
Yep.
On things they don't need my help with, things they'll just check in with me on, like I did this, I'm doing that kind of
sure,
thing.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
So let's talk about those final weeks before, the kind of things that we've been doing to just prepare. Again, whether you're homeschooling or whether you're sending your kids off, whatever this is going to look like for your family. Inevitably, yeah,
it's still a cathartic, transitional,
yes,
those, fun time of year.
Yeah,
you know?
Those
yeah,
few no matter weeks what. Before are very exciting. Mm-hmm. So we're gone the week before we start school. Kind of rough timing. So I have to have everything ready essentially before we leave for our vacation to go down south to see Stuart's family.
Okay.
And so I love this. Like, I live for this. I'm like, what does this mean? And kind of what systems are we putting in place? What do we need to clear out? What do we need to add in more of? Like, let's spend some time
rent
there.
The dumpster.
It makes me very happy.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So what does this look like for y'all in your house now?
We are taking summer jobs and sort of transitioning out of them, talking to employers and trying not to leave anybody hanging because it's still a really, you know, we're in a tourist destination. So
yeah.
The holiday weekend's tough, but it's not just mom that needs to sort of regroup and clean out her closet and get organized, you know? So
yeah.
we're trying to gracefully transition with that. And again, not, you know, it's a very small community, so we don't want to leave anyone in the lurch.
Right.
As it were. I'm decluttering and organizing like a mad woman. Of course, I'm wrapping up my magazine content for the Harvest Holiday edition. We're getting classes lined up, like language tutors and things mm-hmm. like that. It's just sort of got the Google spreadsheets going. Every day Amazon arrives, just getting it in place. I started, I don't know, like a month ago, and I actually need to sit down and do a few more orders and make sure I have everything.
Mm-hmm.
Never fails, no matter how organized I think I am. We sit down on that first day. And I'm like, oh, I didn't order that?
Yep.
What?
Yep.
So
I forgot the math book.
Yeah. What about you guys?
Do you find too, like just as you're kind of gearing up, like you just want to put order to things. It's just, it's in you. So for us, this meant also happy to report on this, that no one cares, but I'm going to say it anyway. Remember I shared with you my new laundry system when we closed out season 7?
Yes.
Okay. It's working baller. It's amazing. Okay. It has completely changed my laundry life. Which
so there's
is
no laundry on your bed.
This was a very big deal, especially for maintaining during the school year. So mm-hmm. in short, real quick, broad view, everyone got their own hamper and everyone got their own unique bath towel. And every day, everyone got a laundry day. So Monday is Juliet's day. She strips her bed, sheet, pillowcase, towel, all her laundry. She drags her laundry basket down to the laundry room. She's young, so I wash it for her. Mm-hmm. So there's no sorting. It just goes from washer to dryer back into the laundry basket. I drag it upstairs for her. And she can put it away, so there's no folding or anything involved. I just got them these dressers with these fabric pull-out drawers, very inexpensive. They love them. They think it's great because they have a okay. shirt drawer, a pant drawer, a pajama drawer. So there's no sorting on my part, and there's no folding mm-hmm. on my part. The only thing I have to mm-hmm. do is help Juliet hang her dresses because okay. she's too little. Laundry can be completely done by them, other than that. And then I wash Stuart and I... 2 times a week, we have 2 loads a week. And then there's like a communal rag bleach sheets kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that has been going really well. So just putting that system in brought order to an otherwise chaotic part of our life. And I think inevitably you want to bring these things in before you start school. So we cleaned out the old homes. We have our big green hutch in our dining room. That's our homeschool cabinet that stores all of our stuff. We don't have a homeschool room. I don't have a special room set up with like anything. We do it at our dining room table. We have a cabinet. Everyone has their own little cubby in the cabinet, and that's pretty much it. So that took some organization. I still need to go get supplies, you know, crayons and pencils and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But we had that cleaned out in just a couple hours. So really a couple hours of ordering curriculum that mm-hmm. we'll be doing this year. And I kind of feel ready, other than backpacks. Kind of a big deal.
Okay.
My kids are excited to have backpacks.
Well, and you should segue as to, you should tell why they're going to have backpacks.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Hello.
So
everybody's like, you just said homeschool. What are you talking about?
I'm in this really rich, vibrant community of not only homeschool families, but classical Christian academics. Mm-hmm. So Stu was a teacher at a classical Christian school before he came home to work from home with me. And so that's what his background is in. That's how he was educated. That's what he taught in. And we just happen to be in this community of a lot of people who are teaching their children the same. And we are also in a community with a lot of kids. There's a lot of people around us with a lot of children. And so as it happens, the kids are getting older and their needs are getting, I think every homeschool family hits this threshold where they're like, I actually don't know how to teach you this because I didn't do so well in chemistry, or I didn't mm-hmm. do so well in geometry. And you're not alone in that. That's when a lot of families start to bring in tutors or meet up with other families. And so as it happened this year, we sort of created this co-op, potentially is not the right word, and it's also not a school. It's a gathering of different homeschool families. Kids all variety of ages. And then basically the parents are teaching the classes, but they're teaching classes that they're skilled to teach. So like I've shared with you, my friend Natalie, who knows Latin, or my friend Jody is an incredible math and science teacher. Stu, literature up the yin yang. I mean, just mm-hmm. literature and history. So he'll be teaching Omnibus. And so you have these teachers teaching to their skill. But it's just a gathering of families. Like, hey, I'll teach your kid math if you teach mine how to love The Hobbit, you know, or teach them how to make sense of this. And so it's a unique situation. We've never done it before. This will be mm-hmm. its first year. I think there's about 12 families that are going to be doing it. So the kids will actually be going to class 2 days a week from like morning time to afternoon. So they'll be having to pack their lunches and take their backpacks. But then the other 2 days, so we do a 4 day week.
Yeah, we do too.
So they'll have co-op days 2 days a week. And then the other 2 days a week, you know, we're still just straight up homeschooling at home. So it's really a interesting mashup of two worlds. Mm-hmm. But also could potentially be just a really incredible situation if anyone finds themselves in a predicament where they're like, I don't know how to teach my 15-year-old this or that, or how to write an essay, but I can teach another kid how to do this. People are coming up. People are creative, and they're coming up with great ways to prioritize.
I love just seeing your community and your church community come together like that. We have rumblings of that here. People are starting to speak up that don't even have children yet. Because mm-hmm. we have a school system here that's just like kind of crumbling.
Yeah.
People are just pulling their kids out left and right.
Yeah.
As is happening in so many places.
Yeah.
So there are people in the community I've heard stepping up saying, I don't even have children yet, but if we need to get something in place,
yeah,
I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. We can get this all locked and loaded.
Yep.
Even for when someday when I have children. I really love that grassroots people taking ownership of a situation idea. I love that. So I'm curious to see like kind of how that fleshes out.
We would like to thank American Blossom Linens for not only being our favorite linen company in the entire world, but also for sponsoring Season 8, Make Your Bed of Homemaker Chic podcast. AmericanBlossomLinens.com. Use coupon code HOMEMAKERCHIC20 to get 20% off of your new bed linens. As we head into fall, as we redress our beds, and as we celebrate this theme of making your bed even more beautiful, we want you to do so with American Blossom Linens. Whether you're looking for beautiful, modern vintage sheets to dress your bed, or a new duvet cover, or a new pillowcase, this is where you need to grow. This is the only 100% American-owned linen company in the entire United States. This is a family-owned company that's over 100 years old, sourcing the most beautiful Texas-grown cotton and weaving them into sheets that are made to last a lifetime. Visit AmericanBlossomLinens.com. Use coupon code HOMEMAKERCHIC20 for 20% off of your new bed. We get asked a lot how we care for our skin and what kind of makeup we use, and the answer is simple. We use Tubes & Co. I want you to visit tubesandco.com and use the coupon code HOMEMAKER. This is your one-stop shop for all things natural and organic. From face washings, you have to check out the Charcoal Bar, to glow serums, which is probably the most beautiful thing I've ever put on my face. Emily has created all kinds of wonderful products for you to utilize on your skin. So whether you're looking for a new foundation, a natural mascara, cruelty-free and additive-free lipsticks or blushes or eyeshadows, Tubes & Co. has what you need. Visit tubesandco.com. Make sure you also try the frankincense tallow balm while you're there and stock your bathroom and makeup case with pure, beautiful products from Tubes & Co. That's tubesandco.com, coupon code HOMEMAKER.
We'd like to welcome House of Tokumen as a sponsor of the show. You can find them at hotrugs.net. If you are tired of throwing your money away on cheap rugs that do not survive your lifestyle, then you need to dress your home in hand-woven rugs from House of Tokumen. Did you know these beautiful vintage handmade rugs are known to outlast their plastic counterparts by 2 decades? All of the House of Tokumen rugs are heirloom quality and made from the finest cottons and sheep's wool. Buy directly from their website and always enjoy free shipping in the continental U.S. or enjoy custom sourcing from a one-on-one buying experience. You are guaranteed a one-of-a-kind rug, no fake antique rugs, machine-made copies, or replicas. Shay and I love our rugs from House of Tokumen. We know that you will too. Visit House of Tokumen at hotrugs.net. That's hotrugs.net, and dress your home in beautiful rugs.
If you've been struggling to find motivation and inspiration in your kitchen, I want you to visit cook.theelliotthomestead.com. This is out there for all those home cooks who would love some new inspiration, some new ideas, and some new motivation in the kitchen, because let's face it, we got to get in there and we got to cook. Each month, I create 5 brand new whole food-based recipes that are designed to help teach you how to cook things from scratch. Whether this is sourdough breads, fermented vegetables, naturally sweetened desserts, easy entrees, soups, salads, everything in between. I guide you through cooking these recipes with a long, in-depth cooking video, showing you new skills and encouraging you as you give these recipes a try in your own kitchen. When you join our community, you'll also have access to our online community of like-minded cooks if you need a place to ask questions or to share your successes. Visit cook.theelliotthomestead.com to inspire and nourish your family. We're going to teach you to bake, to use sourdough, to try new ingredients, and ultimately to find joy in your kitchen again. Visit cook.theelliotthomestead.com for more information.
The parent is the teacher, right? The parent is still fully responsible for the student. So it is a lot different than a school setting where it's sort of on the teacher to bring the kids along. It's like, no, the teachers at this school,
the mouthpiece for that
they're
subject.
Just a mouthpiece, and then they send the kid home with work for the next day. They bring it back on the following day, and so it's like for somebody like Stuart, who will be he will be representing our family as the teacher.
The Elliots.
Yeah. He will be representing the Elliots. He's in his, like, he loves this because he gets to teach classic literature that he absolutely loves. He loves teaching. He's so very skilled at it, but he's not responsible. He doesn't bear the burden of bringing these kids along and trying to just, can you please do your homework? Can you please study for the test? You know, that's on the parents. And dang it, if personal responsibility just doesn't really fan my flame right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. So, and frankly, if you have homeschool kids, then you probably know, like, the excitement that they get about getting a water bottle or, like, packing a lunch. Like, these are the kinds of things that actually can make homeschoolers really excited.
Right.
Anyway, so it'll be a trial year for us, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm praising God that we have options still here in our state and in our country. That's not true everywhere.
Yeah.
And
it's not.
That's a
it's a privilege, to be sure.
I don't know if I would call it a it is a privilege.
It's also to be able to,
a right.
To be able to teach them.
You know?
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
It's a privilege that we have the right. That's I mean, it's that's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's a right. Hello, my kid. My kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
My kid. Okay. So I do have a homeschool room and I just went to town on it a few weeks ago because it was gross. It's this weird architecturally. I don't know what they were thinking. It's this weird sunroom off of like the laundry room, boot room. It's this weird room.
Okay.
Next to the garage, yes. Off the boot room, behind the kitchen. I mean, lots of daylight. It's got like a funky little cathedral ceiling and front, like sliding doors. They're old. They don't hardly work. Lots of daylight. Beautiful place to either make like a gym, or what we chose to do is make it a schoolroom. But we tore the nasty carpeting out when we moved, and we just painted the plywood, and it never really dried properly. So when school started that year, we were walking on it with shoes and it just got all these black scuff marks. I mean, this floor was gross. So I ordered some cheap peel and stick flooring off of Amazon. Yeah. Heck yeah. Green and white. So it kind of mirrors, like, outside is very green. The forest is back there. It's beautiful. Cleaned that up. We have our books because we use sunlight a lot, and so you get just like boxes of books to go with your curriculum, fiction and nonfiction, and it's so many books because it's not really a textbook-based curriculum. I have just hundreds and hundreds of books. So I've got two big baker's racks out there, and they're just stacked in piles. This is from last year. I don't really quite know what I'm going to do with them because it's going to be a few years till they get used again, if they get used again. But this space is clean and my kids are ecstatic. It's spacious. It's clean. It's ready.
Yeah.
I have be teaching Junior to read. I think he's ready because he's based on the interest that he's showing, and really excited. I'm excited for my big kids because I have one that wants to graduate from high school very early, and she is buckling down like... When I'm up in the morning, she's up doing math this summer, like at 5 a.m. You're crazy. Just so she can get it done and can get ahead. And we have apprenticeship possibilities and lots of, it's going to be a very exciting year for the big kids to see what they do with school.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing how when your children are young, homeschooling is, let's make snacks and we're going to sit around the table and we're going to listen to an audiobook and okay, get your little math workbooks out. And then I mean, I'm not there yet with my olders, but just walking alongside you in this and some other families in our community, wow, it really morphs. It's so much less about like, okay, we're going to go from 9 to 2 and so much more about, oh, he's going to go and work in the orchard for this time, or he's going to go apprentice under this, or, you know, she's going to take on cooking meals, or like just, wow, it morphs into such an experiential experience. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I've got, you know, they're going to be like for history, like they did a very detailed year of American history last year, which I thought it would be really good based on it being an election year. And I thought the timing was good. First, we had done world history. I'm like, let's take a break from the world. Let's focus on America. And now based on the world history from 2 years ago, I said, is there a subject that you'd like to really just focus on? Like, I will let you pick. Mm-hmm. And something that you would just like to immerse yourself in all year long. So Aiden said, absolutely, World War II. Amelie wants to learn the British royal line of succession, like from Alfred the Great to Queen Elizabeth.
There you go.
So I have something to show you.
Okay.
For the Patreon people. This is our lineage poster.
Oh my gosh. Your family?
This is the last 1,000 years. Oh,
of the British monarchy?
Yes.
Okay.
Isn't that crazy?
That's amazing.
It's amazing. And so she's starting to get these books in the mail and they're like this fat.
Jeez.
What have I done? I'm like, well, you don't have to. It's not so you can be. I know you think you're going to read all these books in 1 month and you could.
Yeah.
She's such a crazy reader. But I said, this is just to immerse yourself in all year long. Mm-hmm. And so I went through and I just like started with Alfred the Great. And then I just picked like the big ones all the way down to the current royal situation. But this, I just want to tell anybody that's listening, if you're homeschooling, this is a really fun YouTube channel called Useful Charts. It's very fun. Mm-hmm. And then there's usefulcharts.com. But it has everything from like the Star Wars family tree. he does fictional. Like he'll do every family tree you can think of is on his YouTube channel. It's really fun. And then you can order the corresponding poster.
That's cool.
I keep moving away from my mic when I talk to set that down. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
You can order the corresponding poster. So
there's so many incredible resources out there.
Yeah.
Stu, I think, is making me a coffee. I feel like I hear the coffee machine. When he gets into the office, I'm going to ask him if anyone is teaching their kid Bible. There's a YouTube channel and they make, I can't think of it, but they make these graphics that walk through like incredible mind webs. Is that what they call them? Anyway, I'll ask him. But it's absolutely fabulous. Like, here's an overview and okay, and then here's where this goes and who is this guy? And they're really great resources. Okay. There's so much cool stuff out there. And, you know, one of the questions we get emailed is, what curriculum are you using? Which is basically being like, how do you grow vegetables? It's like, well, what vegetable are you trying to grow? And what climate are you in? And what time of year is it? And where are you getting your seeds from? I mean, it's like, it's such a broad and subjective and personal thing. What kind of curriculum that you use? What's important to you? What do you know?
Right.
I
think for me, it's more of a method. So it's a Charlotte Mason method. And then we will pick and pull from curriculums. Like we did use Sunlight's history curriculum last year because I found it was going to be really useful. It had literature to go along with the textbook. Typically, we're not using textbooks unless it's math.
Okay. Yeah. So we use Saxon Math. That's the math curriculum we use. We've also used Math UC, which is great, but our new co-op will be teaching Saxon. So we'll be making the transition. It's very similar. Math UC has been great. Another textbook that we do use is we use the Story of the World history curriculum. So they break it up from, you know, Middle Ages to modern time. Like they have it broken up and it's fabulous. If anyone is looking for a history curriculum, there's corresponding audio CDs and stories. There's the textbook. Yeah. There's activities. You can kind of piece together what parts of that you want to use. But that's a great curriculum that we've used before and we will continue to use. What other textbooks? Other than that, yeah, I guess Charlotte Mason in the sense that it's a lot of literary-based education. So Sarah McKenzie over at Read Aloud Revival, we've shared her resource with you before. She is a great one to say, okay, your kid's in third grade. Here's a list of books that they should probably be reading. Classic literature that's meant to help you teach your children things like history, through literature. So they don't just learn it through a textbook. They learn it, you know, they read The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom. And that's how they learn parts of World War II. Yes. And so that literature based is very much how we sort of go with those kinds of things.
And for people that are brand new to homeschooling, if you're wondering like why we would do that, it's simply to get to expose the child to something richer. A textbook is, you know, typically written from the perspective of one person or a couple people. And when we read, when they read, just like us, they're reading a literature story. They have a chance to put themselves in that position. And it really becomes more a part of who they are. They can helps them put things in context, historically speaking, as far as when things happened, what music was played at the time, what foods were eaten at the time. It really enriches. Thank you. Hello, homeschool mom. The subject for them.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. Even kids who aren't readers, they're going to have to learn one way or another. And there's ways that you can adapt literature to make it something, if that means that they need to be working outside while they're listening to the audiobook, or, you know, there's lots of great options when it comes to that. If you're just not sure what they should even be reading, if you didn't grow up reading the classics, there's a lot that I didn't read.
Ambleside Online is an excellent resource for lists, like you were saying. Okay, here's what a third grader can be exposed to, fourth grader, as far as a very rich selection of literature.
Yeah. And then you're just going to have to start building your library. And if you've got multiple kids, it's great. A lot of them are classic. A lot of the classics are actually available on Audible for free because they came out before.
They're copyright free.
Yeah, they're just copyright free. So that's always an option as well. And then, you know, because school time is such a beautiful structured time, and as you're getting started, just I would encourage you to not get way bogged down in the curriculum. That's a huge part of it. But remember that another big part of it is just this aroma of learning and filling that's going on in your home. So for us, what this looks like is, whereas in the summer, we'll get up, we'll go out in the garden, we spend hours out there before we come in and have breakfast. In the school year, it changes. And what this means is that classical music goes on in the morning so that when the kids get up, there's just beautiful atmosphere that's sort of just penetrating, right, the house. And it means structured breakfasts, where it means I actually make something for breakfast. It's not like a fin for yourself.
Unlike summer, have some granola.
Exactly. And then one of, you know, hey, what is that Bible resource that does like the mind maps or the, what's that called?
It's called just called the Bible Project.
The Bible Project.
Okay.
Out of Portland. It's on YouTube, right? The Bible Project?
Yeah, and they have a website.
Okay, and they have a website. Okay. Thank you. I was trying to remember what that was called. We're recording. Yeah. He's like, why are you talking to me while you're recording? Anyway, one of our favorite parts of homeschooling has been our morning time. And this is something we've been done for years. You guys have heard me talk about it in seasons past, but it's a time where our family sits down at the table together. We do our catechism question. We do our psalm singing. We pray. We eat breakfast together. We talk about what's coming up during the day. And it's just a really beautiful, enriching time. And so I would just encourage you to think about ways that maybe you can make that and generate that in your home. I think Jennifer Scott, she does tea time, like 2 to 4 is like, we're going to read, we're going to listen to music, or we're going to watch an opera, or we're going to do something that they love to do. Relax.
Some people call it morning basket.
Okay.
So a lot of homeschoolers that call it morning basket. So that's the time when the family will do a study together, whether it's the Bible or a fine art piece or listening to music together. It's like kind of before everybody breaks off and starts doing their own their own studies.
It's really hard to get people back together, I feel like, once they start going their different ways, because they all finish at different times and they have different chores at different times of day. So,
unless you think that like, when we talk about sitting down and doing catechism or singing hymns or morning basket or whatever, that our children are just piously sitting there with halos and folded hands and reciting,
And there's no spills and no drama and no fussing and no fidgeting and no whining. That is not what we're talking about. When we say it's beautiful, there's classical music playing, like we're not referencing perfection or some Sound of Music looking kitchenscape. That is not what's happening. There might be a few pockets that are just really beautiful and charming, but it's more the discipline and exposing them, not discipline like discipline, but the practice of exposing them to things and having that intentional family time and that intentional prayer together. And but when we talk about that, I just want to like let everybody know, especially brand new people to homeschooling, like we're not just talking about like something you would conjure up from the Sound of Music. Everything's in order and everyone's behaving and things are perfect and
yeah,
nobody's being pinched or poked and there's not jam on the floor.
Well, and actually you should probably like just elaborate on if people are coming into a homeschooling situation and their children are not trained to that homeschooling situation, you got to give yourself like 2 years to retrain your children to understand what this is going to look like, because homeschooling looks a lot different than your quote traditional classroom looks like. And Stuart always encourages me in this because, again, I didn't grow up homeschooled. I grew very much up thinking this is what school looks like and this is how it functions. And he always tells me, your job is not to recreate the classroom in your home. If you're going to try to do that, you're going to do a worse job because the schools have way more resources than you do. So good, you know, good luck. And so just if you're stepping into this, this is your first year, either because your kids are young or because your situation has changed, just holy cow, layer on the grace, layer on the grace and start small. Maybe your first month of school is just morning time and math.
Yeah.
I know a lot of families who just do that. They just do weeks of math. We're going to just get through a math lesson where we're going to do, you know, a couple lessons or we're going to do 20 minutes or whatever it is just to kind of get the ball going in the right direction. Yes. If you think you're going to start day one and you're going to put in 8 hours and you're going to hit all your subjects and your kids are going to be learning French and know who Bach and Beethoven are within the end of September, like you're screwed.
Yeah, you really are. And it's we kind of forget to remember that the way America does, like the public school system, like that is not the be all end all form of education.
It's not.
That isn't the formula for success. Hmm. You don't have to try to imitate that. You don't have to try to mimic that. It's And so I would say, like, if you're brand new or if you need some further encouragement, there's really good homeschool podcasts out there. I would start very simply with finding some Charlotte Mason podcasts to listen to, and there will be lots of subjects about just beginning or being overwhelmed or where to start.
The Mason Jar is a good Charlotte Mason podcast. Short little nuggets of help. But if you're having a problem with your kid just in terms of obedience when it comes to school, maybe even start pre that. You know, maybe go listen to a good book or somebody who you respect whose children act the way that you want. Maybe that means you need to meet with some people in your community. But the most important thing is that the child is receptive to being the student, receptive to learning, and honoring you as the parent in that process. So at the end of the day, the school stuff will come and go. They'll be fine. They will be fine. If you don't hit all your lessons, if you don't quite make it through your book by the end of the year.
Right.
Character development is really what we're after in our homeschooling day. And I'll tell you, it's harder at first, but it does really pay off and it will make teaching the subjects so much better and so much easier in the long run. So if your kid's being a snot, you don't push them on to the next lesson. You stop and you deal with it and you correct it. Nancy Wilson does she did a podcast. I think you can just search like Nancy Wilson honoring your parents, I think. I have a link to it, but it's like through an app that I pay for. So I'm pretty confident that it's available online. But if you have like preteen teenagers, it's a really great message to have them listen to. It's like an hour long. She gave it to a group of preteen teenagers. So she's talking in a very relevant way, but it's on honoring your parents. And, you know, it sets a really nice foundation for charging forward into the school year ahead.
Okay.
I've listened to it like 3 times and I just keep listening to it to be like, remember, this is the point. This is the point. This is the point. So as not to get too bogged down in the details of things, because inevitably the erasers get chewed off the pencils and, you know, books get torn up and stuff gets lost and no one can find a notebook or a blank piece of paper because you forgot to order some. This is what we're going into.
Yeah, it's real life. It's real life. When we're done, will you text me the name of that so I can put that in the show notes?
Yes, I will. I'll see if I can find a link for
There's a few more. Simply Charlotte Mason is a good one.
Okay.
There's a podcast called A Delectable Education.
Oh, yes.
Is very good.
Yep.
Yeah. And I find Modern Miss Mason, I find by just kind of staying in that zone, that's how I stay encouraged because it's a challenging, homeschool is challenging. Mm-hmm. And just kind of keep giving yourself little nuggets throughout the week. Mm-hmm. These are usually very short podcasts, 10, 12 minutes, 13 minutes.
Yep.
But it helps you stay very encouraged.
Yep. And I always try and think when we go about our homeschool day, this isn't always possible, but I usually do try to think like, what's going to be our little highlight today? Whether it's maybe we're going to sit and like watch a nature documentary. Maybe that's like the icing on the cake at the end of the day. Like, ooh, that's something to look forward to. Or maybe I make popcorn or hot chocolate.
Right.
Or maybe it's we're taking a field trip or we're going to do something. And, you know, try and just keep these little things that just like give you a little bit of rest along the way. Because we're in this for the long haul. It's a long haul game. So we're not going to accomplish it all in a moment.
No. And in not imitating the classroom too, be encouraged if you're brand new or if you're kind of deciding right now what to do a couple weeks from now. We're not talking about 8 hours a day either.
No.
We're not talking about anything like that. There is a lot of time wasted in school.
We should do like four.
Four, yeah.
Mm-hmm. About 4 hours.
Especially when your home is has the aroma of education. So they're with you in the kitchen, they're with you in the garden, or they're learning things that still counts.
Yeah. or they're doing their piano lessons or they're milking the cow. So many opportunities for learning. But you do have to really broaden the way that you view education when you start to homeschool, because you have this 24-hour window every day where your child is going to be learning something. And if that means I'm going to learn that I spend my afternoon sitting in front of the television and watching this and demanding things from my parents, they're still learning. Mm-hmm. They're just learning the wrong things.
Yeah. So true.
Mm-hmm.
So true.
Also preaching to myself.
Okay.
Plenty of television has been consumed in the Elliott household through the summer.
Get some padlocks on that stuff for the school year.
Oh, it's so bad. It's so bad. Well, we still have 2 weeks left here, so I'm going to live it up.
Yes, we do. Okay.
And then we'll hit the ground running. As always, if you guys have topics that you would like to hear addressed on Homemaker Chic, email us info@homemakercheekpodcast.com. We love to hear from you and hear your suggestions. And then, of course, please do show some love to the podcast at patreon.com/homemakercheekpodcast. That is where you can watch video forms of the podcast for just $10 a month. And you get to be part of our Discord server where a lot of conversation is happening between homemakers about all kinds of things. And then, of course, we do our end of the season hangout with those $10 a month supporters. So that means a lot to us. It helps keep Homemaker Chic on the air. And we love our patrons. So thank you guys for seeing us through 8 seasons.
Definitely. And while you are prepping for homeschool, be sure to make your bed. That is the theme of this season. Make your bed. So
yes,
that could fall under this homeschool category, getting things locked up, getting things in order. And we are so pleased to share with you that season 8 is brought to you exclusively by American Blossom Linens. And you can visit them at AmericanBlossomLinens.com. These are your modern vintage sheets. We have bath towels. We have duvets. We have blankets, all sorts of beautiful Texas grown organic cotton made right here in the United States.
So we really want you to check them out. And what we want you to do is save a little money.
Yeah.
Use our coupon code HOMEMAKERCHIC20. Invest once on these products that are meant to last a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so pleased that American Blossom Linens is sponsoring season 8. Make your bed. They're the perfect sponsor and the perfect sheets, mm-hmm. quite frankly. So check that out as well tomorrow.
And did you
over
know
on Instagram?
Did you yes, know ma'am. That American Blossom Linen? I was talking to Jana about this. American okay. Blossom Linens are the only sheet that is made exclusively in America, from like the cotton being grown here to being sewn, stitched, designed, American owned. They're the only ones.
No way.
Isn't that crazy?
The only
I love ones. That. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
And they're old. They're like 150 years old, this company?
The business has been around for over 100 years. It's yeah. a family. It's like a true homegrown American family business.
Oh,
and
I love
these
that.
People are gems. I got to tell you, Shay and I know them.
Yeah.
These are good people.
Yep.
Love working with them. So
yep.
thank you so much,
and
ABL, for sponsoring season 8.
And real one more thing. I think this is important okay. because you encourage people to save up to get their American Blossom Linens. If you get your sheets and you don't love them, you can send them back to the company for up to 2 years after you buy them. Did you know this?
No, I didn't know
because
that.
Because they're that confident.
Well, I love mine, so I wouldn't.
They're that confident that you will love them. And so this really is kind of a no risk purchase. You buy them,
yeah.
you love them. If you don't love them, you can send them back. So
that's awesome.
Just okay. a little food for thought. Okay.
I'm done. All righty.
Okay, ladies, we'll be back here Monday.
Out, watch the video.
Yeah.
Yeah, and check us out on Instagram all weekend. Show us your stuff. Hashtag Ultra Feminine Friday.
Yes.
And we'll see you on Monday.
Okay. See you guys then.
Okay.
Cheers.
Cheers.